Good morning, everyone. Today, we have a message on seeing how great your God is. So I was thinking about what can we do for a new year. I'm not going to jump back into the book of Luke just yet. And this is what God put on my heart. So just to review, last week we saw that God not only forgives our sins, but what else does he do? He deals with the source, our sinful nature. And he does that by giving us his Holy Spirit so that we can have a new nature that is stronger than our old one. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I exhorted us to live up to our high calling in Jesus by saying yes to his Spirit and saying no to what? Our fleshly desires. So we must become more aware of Christ living in me than of my sins and failures. How many of you, when you sin, you start meditating on that? You're like, ah, you beat yourself up. It very easily becomes our focus. And so it takes effort and wisdom to say, no, I'm going to put my focus on Jesus and the fact that he forgives my sins and that he wants to strengthen me to overcome them. So we have to see Jesus as what? Greater than our sins and failures. And that's your first fill-in. So this morning, I want to pray for us. We're going to focus on the subject of seeing how great God is. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for all the testimonies in Scripture of how you acted on behalf of your people in history. And Father, we believe that you're at work in our lives. We all know ways you've acted on our behalf as well. And we want that to be what guides our thinking, and that there would be a spirit of faith in us personally and as a church in 2018, that the God who is for us is greater than anything that's against us. In Jesus' name, amen. So number two, our goal this year is a spirit of faith, which comes from seeing how great, and the fill-in is, my God is. And that's important. We're going to see that in some of the scripture passages. But it's one thing to say, oh, God is great. But it's another thing to say, my God is great. Do you get the difference? Okay. I was reading a book called God Knows We're Human by Terry Virgo, and I found this quote, which goes right along with what I want to share, and I found it very inspiring. Terry said this, our greatest need is to see God and to recognize that everything that stands against us is nothing compared to his covenant promises. That's a strong statement, isn't it? That everything that stands against us is nothing compared to his covenant promises. And one of the great examples of this in Scripture is David, when he saw Goliath. And he heard Goliath boasting and saying, send me a man, and if he defeats me, we'll serve you, but if I defeat him, you'll serve us. And the whole army is cowering, and David's response is this, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to taunt the armies of the living God? What a statement. Who is this uncircumcised? I mean, who is this pagan? Goliath was huge. They estimate he might have been like 9 feet tall. He was powerful. He was scary. The whole army was afraid of him. For 40 days, he'd intimidated them. Brave and strong men were dismayed and terrified, and they ran away every morning. They lined up, and they ran away. How could David, as a young teenage man, he couldn't serve in the army yet. You had to be 20 to serve in the army, so he was somewhere in his teen years. How could he be so brash, confident, and seemingly arrogant? Do you remember, what did his oldest brother do? His oldest brother rebuked him. Like, what are you doing here? You know, who do you think you are? And David's like, no, like, you know, what will happen to the man who defeats this giant? David walked with God. David had killed lions and bears who attacked sheep in his flock. He reasoned correctly that if God could empower him to kill a bear, then God could empower him to kill a giant. David saw God, and he saw him as bigger than Goliath. Hallelujah. When we see God as being great, then we'll have faith well up in our hearts. When we reflect upon and remember how God has provided for us, how God has worked in difficult situations. If you think about, how many of you can think of a situation in the past where you were worried and God totally came through for you? I bet every single one of us can think of more than one. God intends for that to build our faith so that when we come up against the next obstacle, our response is, hey, Lord, how can you help? We go to him. We have an expectation that he'll do what he did in the past. When we see our weaknesses and failures, apart from seeing God, we become weak, timid, doubting, discouraged, despairing. So the question becomes, what's your focus? Are you focusing on yourself, or are you focusing on Jesus and Christ in you, at work in you? What did Hebrews 12 tell us to do? Fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let's look at another example. When Moses and the Jews came out of Egypt, they got to the edge of the promised land, and so they sent 13 spies in to scout out the land and give a report about what the land was like. So these 13 men went from each tribe. They went up. They scouted out the land. They came back with a report. And they all said, hey, the land's beautiful. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of abundance. They brought back like grapes and figs that they hung on poles and walked them back to Moses and the people. But they also said, hey, this land has huge people. There's descendants of the giants living there. There are walled and fortified cities, and the people are large. We seem like grasshoppers compared to them. And they sowed fear into the hearts of all the people, except Joshua and Caleb. So some saw giants, grasshoppers, and walled cities, but two saw God. And they said, we should by all means go up, for our God will give us the land. So all 13 of them saw the exact same thing. Many tribes, good land, walled cities. But 11 could only see the negative and focused on the obstacles leading to fear and unbelief. They ruined the faith of a whole nation of people. Only two saw God as bigger and more powerful than their obstacles. Are you like Joshua and Caleb or like the 11? How do you face obstacles in your life? How do you deal with things that seem overwhelming? Let's imitate their faith. So have you gotten all the fill-ins? All 13 spies saw the same thing, but only two saw whom? They saw God, okay? Now the next point is reading Scripture daily reveals the Lord and helps us to see him. When you read the Bible, we see who God is. God says things about himself. We see what he did in history and the lives of people of faith, and it shows us what God is like and what he does. God shows himself in Scripture as the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the creator of heaven and earth. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's our righteousness. He's our good shepherd. He's the God who's always with us. This reality needs to fill our minds and hearts. In my daily reading, I'm going through the book of Deuteronomy right now. So look with me on your sheet. There's a passage from Deuteronomy 11. And in Deuteronomy, Moses is over and over encouraging the people to obey God's law, and that to cling to God and to love him means you'll do what he says. So he gives this encouragement plus a big promise. If you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. Does that inspire you at all? Well, it inspires me, and I read that. I thought to myself, if God can do that for his people 3,000 years ago, he can give us a much bigger impact in Boston. And so that's just how I took it. That's number seven. God can give us a bigger impact in Boston as we love him, walk with him, obey him. We can see him do great things. But this requires seeing God as greater than the strongholds in our city. When we look at Boston, we're not naturally encouraged about what great things are going to happen for God this year. We just see like, wow, this is a city full of people who are indifferent, who are caught up with education, jobs, money, prestige, looking good in the eyes of other people. There's no fear of God. And so we have to rouse our faith. We have to look to the Lord and say, you know what? Our God is still able. There's nothing too difficult for him. We have to see the strongholds in our lives as smaller than God. God is stronger than things that have held us throughout our whole lives. And we have to stand on that. And sometimes things shift very quickly. We get quick answers to prayer. Peter described a couple quick answers to prayer this morning. And other times we have to persevere and can take time. And that sows doubt in us when things don't happen right away. There's a psalm that I really love. Psalm 60, verse 11 and 12, says, "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly. It is he who shall tread down our enemies." I love David and how he has that spirit. We used to sing a song years ago. It was, "Through our God we shall do valiantly. It is he who shall tread down our enemies. We'll sing and shout the victory. Christ is king." Simple song, catchy. Maybe some of you will remember it now. You say, like Dave and his old songs. But that song runs in my head. It really helps me. Through our God, we shall do valiantly. Amen? That's God's goal for us. What's it mean to be valiant? It means you have courage. It means you overcome. It means you're a conqueror. It's difficult things happen. You endure them, and you come through on the other side. Through our God, we can do that. And so I want us to have, again, that sense that my God is a great God. We must see how faithful God is to his covenant promises in Scripture and take courage. In Deuteronomy 11, Moses declared that God promised to do what? Put a fear of the Jewish people in the hearts of the people of the land they were to possess. Did God do that? Okay, he did. Let's look at Joshua 2, verses 8 through 11. This is Rahab speaking. So Rahab was a prostitute of all things. Two spies went to her house to hide because they'd been discovered. And this is what she said to the Hebrew spies. "I know that the Lord has given you this land." Just pause there for a second. How could she know that? Okay, here's a woman. She's a pagan, worshiping other gods, but she's saying, "I know the Lord has given you the land. and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. What a statement. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, read it with me, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. There it is. For the Lord your God is God, in heaven above and on the earth below. God did exactly what he promised. This inspires me. Their hearts were melting with fear. Everyone's courage failed because of you. And then Rahab has the clincher, your God is God. Hallelujah. Have you ever watched the old movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston? At the end, well, maybe I shouldn't tell you what's at the end of the movie. I have a habit of spoiling things, right, from the pulpit. But I'm going to tell you anyways, okay? At the end, Pharaoh comes back to his wife who was in love with, you know, Moses years before. And his final statement is his army's been destroyed. Everybody's gone. His nation is decimated. And he goes, well, Moses' God is God. And boom, that's kind of how the movie ends. It's great. That was Rahab's confession. Rahab was saved because she had faith. She saw God for who he really was. She and her family were rescued. It's awesome. If God did this for his people under the old covenant 3,000 years ago, how much more will he be faithful to you who are under the new covenant by faith in his very own son? Take faith. The things that are impossible for you are possible for your God. And over, Moses in Deuteronomy says, the Lord, your God. The Lord, your God. The Lord who brought you out of Egypt, who through signs and wonders and miracles destroyed a whole nation. That's your God. And these are his commandments. Cling to him, hold on to him, do what he says, and wonderful things will continue to happen in your lives. Praise God. Well, that's how I want to live, right? I want to cling to Jesus. I want to try and do what he says. I want to be empowered by his Holy Spirit, and I want to have a faith that no matter what life or Satan or the world throws at me, my God can handle it. Because my God is the living God. Hallelujah. So notice Rahab's words. When we heard about the Red Sea drying up before you, our hearts melted with fear. Egypt was the greatest nation in that part of the world. Yet the 11 spies sent to scout out the land at about the same time were sowing fear and doubt in the hearts of God's people. God can't do it. He brought us here to die. Let's go back to Egypt. Satan was successfully demoralizing the people who should have been boasting about what God could do. So Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. When everybody's saying, let's go back to Egypt, they ripped their clothes. They ran and said, no, we should by all means go up and take the land. If God's pleased with us, he'll give it to us. They had that sense, God is greater than these giants. God is greater than walled cities. Our God can do it. So on your sheet, number 8, God's greater than the strongholds in our cities and in your lives. Scripture shows us that God is what? Faithful to his covenant promises. As he promised, God caused the people's hearts to melt with fear. And this next point, no one can stop God from doing what he's planned to do. Do you believe that? No one can stop God. If God has a plan to do something, we see it over and over again in Scripture. What God wants to happen will happen. But in this case, God's plan was delayed by how long? 40 years. There was a 40-year delay in what God wanted to do because of unbelief. The people rebelled, and they couldn't bring themselves to obey the Lord. Let's be like Joshua and Caleb, who had a different spirit. Amen? Let's see our weaknesses and sinful desires as no match for the power of the Spirit of God who lives within us. Let's see every obstacle and problem as no problem for the living God, our God. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you, he will give life to your mortal body. The power that brings life from death. Jesus was dead. Has anyone been to a funeral in the past couple years? And you see, well, if you go to the wake, you see the person in the coffin. And you know they're dead. Their body is stiff. Their life is obviously gone. The person obviously isn't there anymore. That happened to our Lord, and the Spirit of God came into him, upon him, and raised him from the dead. Praise God. And Paul says, that's the Spirit at work in you. If you feel dead, guess what? The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you feel overwhelmed by your sinful nature, guess what? The Spirit that brings life from death lives in you. And God wants you to get that into your thinking so that you can begin to experience life. I wish my son Daniel was here to share this in person. Daniel took engineering at Baylor. He found engineering to be very difficult. And so he was taking courses that overwhelmed him. And he called us and asked for prayer at times. And he told us this past vacation, he goes, you know, God has delivered me from stress. Like I would come into these exams, I'd be all stressed and I'd be anxious, and that doesn't happen anymore. And so Inger goes, well, you know, what did you do? You know, meditating on Scripture or memorizing this. He goes, I prayed it away. He just said it just like that. Yeah, prayed it away. God just freed, I kept praying and God just freed me from the stress. Hallelujah. So that's the way we're meant to be. We're supposed to look at our lives. What am I struggling with that God doesn't want me to struggle with? Anxiety is a big one for a lot of us. We need to pray. Are you with me? Now, did anyone last week, I gave a little homework, I suggested you write down what fleshly struggle you're having. Pray and give it to the Lord, and then confess what? The Holy Spirit in me is stronger than this struggle. So if you didn't do that, you can do it this week. Praise the Lord. But I want to encourage you, that's how we become victorious. We serve a great God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who's faithful to 1,000 generations to those who love him, the God who gave victories to David and Joshua and Caleb is your God. Have faith. No one can stand before you. Wow. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's get in on what God has planned to do in our city through our church ministry, through your lives, where you live, where you work. God has plans to further his kingdom in people's lives. We do this by remembering his promises, reminding ourselves that they're for me. These promises are for me. By saying them out loud, by praying them, we are allowed and exhorted in Scripture to boast in our Lord. Okay, I think I forgot to put this one on your sheet. I put some extra scriptures on the back of your sheet, but you can write down Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8. And the New American Standard says this, some boast in chariots, some boast in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, and we have risen and stood upright. Amen. We're allowed to boast in the name of the Lord our God. in God. We're allowed to say, God can do it. My God is all-powerful. Nothing's impossible with him. I remember reading the story of these Christians in China. I think I've shared this before. And this one woman had hemophilia, which is if you get cut, then you bleed, and it doesn't coagulate. So you have this problem like you're bleeding too much. And she was poor, and she worked out in the fields, and her hands and feet got cut all the time, and she had trouble stopping the bleeding. She wrapped her feet in rags. And this Christian woman kept witnessing to her, and she said, if you give your life to Jesus, he'll heal you. Now, I know, I'm thinking like, whoa, that's kind of a big boast there. But God was working that way at this time among these people. And then the woman had a dream where she dipped her hands and feet in a lake, and they came out healed. And she woke up, and guess what? Before she gave her life to the Lord, her hands and feet had been healed during the night through this dream, and she gave her life to the Lord. Wow, what a testimony. Well, who knows? God can do something like that. God's done healings in our lives. Harley had a testimony of healing last year. Well, God wants Harley to have faith to, like, pray for people at her school. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like what God does is meant to inspire us to, like, step out and ask him to do it again in somebody else. Can we do that? All right, good. We're going to come to the Lord's table, and I want to read you a passage of Scripture. It's on the back of your sheet to prepare us for breaking bread and taking communion together. In this passage, Paul, in a sense, boasts about Jesus by comparing him to Adam. And he looks at the effect of Adam's sin compared with the obedience of Jesus our Lord. So this is what he says. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in what? Condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, all the death in the world came in through Adam, is what Paul is saying. Much more, those who receive what? The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression, the result of condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted what? Justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, what happened? Grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so, grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are celebrating, as we eat this bread, drink from this cup, that your Savior, Jesus Christ, overcame the power of sin and death. What Adam brought in, Jesus has healed. Praise God. Scripture encourages us to examine ourselves when we come to the Lord's table. Sometimes that just kind of makes us really heavy. God doesn't want you to be really heavy. He wants you to see if there's sins that you have, confess them. You're celebrating that there's forgiveness of sins. If you got convicted this morning of worry or seeing God as too small or struggling with doubt, talk to him. Give it to him right now. His heart is to wash us from that, to cleanse you, and to put faith in Jesus afresh in your heart. And the biggest thing we're actually to examine ourselves for is, in Corinth, when that was written, there were divisions and factions in the church. So it'd be like there's somebody say, well, you know, like, Pat Rusk is my elder. And then some people say, well, no, Ed Hodge is my elder. And some people sound like, well, no, I follow Dave. Like, he's our senior leader. And some people say, well, I follow Jesus. They trumped him, right? I follow Jesus. And Paul rebuked them for that. See, when they're doing that, people are holding things against each other. And so they're gravitating towards people who are thinking like they think. So Jesus told us very clearly, if you want to be forgiven, you must forgive other people. We can't have grudges. We can't be having divisions in our midst. So that's what God wants us to examine ourselves for and to repent of it, because we're all eating from one body, our Lord Jesus Christ. One bread, one body, and this is meant to unite us. Hallelujah. Steph, could you play a song for us? Or Harley, come on up, please. So I want you to just take a minute or two right now to talk to the Lord. Whatever it is you need to pray about, anything to confess, Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Anything you want God to work at, to increase your faith, to repent of thinking too little of him, just talk to him right now. Father, pray you would give us grace to be very real and honest with you so that we can benefit from drawing close to you through your Son afresh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your heart to keep changing us and to make us more like your Son.